is east of the Rockies, and you're listening to AM 1500 KSTP. From the high desert as a great American Southwest, I bid you all good evening, good morning, wherever you may be across all these many time zones. From the westernmost tip of our commercial participation in the Tahitian and Hawaiian island chains, eastward to the Caribbean and the U.S. Virgin Islands, good morning in St. Thomas. No, I don't hear enough from St. Thomas. I always have to open a special line to hear from St. Thomas. Maybe I'll do that. South into South America, north all the way to the pole, and worldwide on the grand internet, thanks to AudioNet in Dallas. I'm Art Bell, and this is Coast to Coast AM. Good morning. There are a number of health issues that we're going to talk about an hour here with Dr. Robert Boghossian. And there's some weird stuff going out there, on out there. Do you remember when they said sperm counts were down, male sperm counts in Europe and the Americas were down? And it was quite a shocking thing. And then they said, oh, wait a minute, here's a new study, and they're not down. As a matter of fact, they're even. Well, now there is a newer study which says that they were down even further than they originally thought. And so that's pretty weird. I've got a new story on that tonight. In Zaire, there is something new. They're calling it monkeypox. I don't know what it is. We'll find out. With regard to the flu, a three-year-old boy has just died from the flu, which he contracted, get this, folks, from a bird. A bird. Now, what seems to be happening is that a lot of diseases appear to be doing a species jump. There is a story about a milk problem in the Northeast. That's right, a milk problem. Shades of Major Ed Dames. So I'm going to try to find out about all of this with Dr. Boghossian next hour. News? Well, Attorney General Janet Reno says she's considered the facts, everything, the law, and is not going to appoint an independent counsel to probe into what the Democrats have done with regard to fundraising. She will continue to look at the president and vice president and what they have done. I think rather than jack around with appointing an independent counsel, they really should do something about fundraising, period. That's the real problem. And the real problem is on both sides of the aisle, and every damn one of them knows it. It really is on both sides of the aisle. Whether or not the president or vice president made a call or two or whatever from the White House, from their office, I don't know if that's a national scandal, but the way campaigns are financed is a national scandal. So I think they ought to just do something about the whole mess myself. In West Paducah, Kentucky, the horror continues to unfold, and the reasons do not. A 14-year-old walked in with several guns and killed three of his classmates, wounded a bunch more. Nobody knows why. In Tennessee, a dad turns himself in for killing his four children. Nobody really seems to know why the violence is... You know, it's a funny thing. The FBI is saying the violence in America is down. And it may be in some totals. Of course, the totals were gigantic, so anything that sees it go down a little bit is good in numbers. But the violence is different. Now, what do I mean by that? Well, in the old days, and I'm only 52, so that the old days are not that old. And there was generally a reason. And most of the time, you were always killed by somebody you knew. You know, a love triangle, a business associate problem, whatever, that kind of thing. There was a reason for a murder. Today's violence, wherever the numbers are, is different. People are killing each other for not discernible reasons, or reasons that perhaps they have and they're not able to articulate to us. It's crazy. The following from Reuters: astronomers, get this, said Tuesday they had captured the image of an exploding black hole right in Earth's own Milky Way galaxy. An exploding black hole? They used a string of radio telescopes across Britain to capture the image of the explosion that, in fact, was predicted by Einstein's theories. The scientists at Britain's radio astronomy lab said the black hole is at the center of a microquasar called GRS-1915 in the constellation of Aquil in Eagle. It is about 40,000 light years away, a light year being the distance, of course, that light can travel in a year at 186,000 miles per second. So, a black hole can explode. That's weird. And if that's weird, this is even stranger. From Miami, the following Associated Press story: a woman who police believe may have fallen out of an airplane was killed after hitting a garden wall in an apartment complex on Tuesday. Police have not the slightest idea of who she is or how she fell. Nobody saw her fall. They have no clue. Residents heard a loud bang and went outside and found a woman's body had landed on a garden wall and had ripped in half. I'm serious. Police say she could not have fallen from a nearby 20-story building, the tallest structure in the area. Condition of her body indicates she fell from a much higher point. The woman was wearing a long black shirt and black tights, had zero identification. She was described as white, with shoulder-length black hair. Police estimate she was in her mid-30s to late 40s. The detective said, right now we're still trying to figure out where we go from here. You have to put together at least a part of the mystery before you even start in a direction. So they don't have, you know, they're looking at fingerprints. They're calling airports, trying to figure out what might have been going on. But this woman just fell from the sky. Kerplunk. And that's underdoing the sound that it must have been created when she hit. What in the world? One day, Bill was out raking leaves when he noticed a hearse slowly drive by. Following the first hearse was a second hearse, which was followed by a man walking very solemnly along, followed by a dog, and then about 200 men walking in single file. Intrigued, Bill went up to the man following the second hearse and asked him who, in fact, was in the first hearse. Man said, "My wife." Bill said, "I'm sorry. What happened to her?" "My dog bit her, and she died." Bill then asked the man who was in the second hearse. Man replied, "My mother-in-law. My dog bit her, and she died as well." Bill thought about this for a while, finally asking the man, "Can I borrow your dog?" To which the man replied, "Get in line." 200. Somebody named Vince in Rimrock, Arizona, sends the following: how to stop Saddam Hussein without bombs. And I thought we might think about this a little bit. He says, produce perfect counterfeits of Iranian money. I think they're dinars, whatever they are, dinars, in small denominations. Produce millions and millions of them. Drop them on Baghdad, along with a leaflet saying, Saddam loves you and will take care of you forever. Rather than kill innocent people, destroy cities, why not destroy their economy? If they were bombed into submission, the U.S. would likely fund the restoration of their economy anyway. But would it not be more humane to restore an economy lost by people who are still alive than to have to restore an economy where thousands of people were killed? And less expensive, since we don't have to rebuild their bridges, roads, that sort of thing. What do you think? I think it's a grand idea. We'll be right back. Unless you live in Alaska, Hawaii, or Canada. And then you must call area code 918-687-0404. Now, what do you think of the idea of destroying Iraq's economy with their own money, dinars? Print them up. We could do it. We could make them perfect. I mean, absolutely non-discernible from their own money. And if we poured enough of it, their economy would simply collapse before their eyes, and we would not have dropped one real bomb. What do you think? Somebody could do it to us. Well, they've already tried. In southern Lebanon, they've been printing up U.S. money for a long time now, $100 bills. So why not use their economy against them? I really am going to give this... You know, Vince has a pretty good idea here in Rimrock, Arizona. I wonder if it's been considered. Anyway, open lines till the top of the hour. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Good morning.
Hello, Art. It's Vince in Chicago.
Hey, Vince.
You know, your programs recently have been really quite a bit on the serious side, and they can be quite depressing, but I'd like to talk to you about some of the more funny things. You've had me rolling over laughing at home listening to your program.
What?
I think it was last night, you had a caller from Brooklyn, New York. I don't know if you've ever heard of the Jerky Boys.
The coming to take me away, ha-ha guy?
They're these comics that they do these prank phone calls. They're really famous. They've had a couple of hit comedy albums. I think one of the Jerky Boys called you last night.
Well, I didn't think it was that original.
No, it wasn't too funny. But another program you had... you had Mark Ritchie on Dreamland.
Yes.
There was a caller who claimed to be... Mark Ritchie was talking about the Amazon shamans.
Yes.
And there was a caller from who claimed to be from West Africa.
Oh, yes. Uh-huh.
I don't know. I tell you, I was rolling over laughing at this guy. He claimed to be a partner and associate of Charles Darwin.
Worked with Charles Darwin. Yeah, I think he was... Oh, no, he's real.
But Charles Darwin has been dead for over 100 years.
Well, this guy was a very old guy. It's entirely possible.
Art, I was laughing. The guy was, I don't know. Even Mark Ritchie had said his speaking style was...
It was. Very difficult to follow.
I think that guy was a prank phone caller. If you listen to it carefully.
Could have been. What is your point, Vince?
Well, I was just kind of bringing up some of the funny things that, on your show recently.
Well, it just goes to show you what tickles one's bone might not tickle another's.
As far as one of the strangest and kind of funny things also was when Richard Hoagland was talking about the old Navy stores thing.
Yeah.
You remember they had that Magic Comes Back commercial they played on March 13th, the day of the...
I think the old Navy stores are playing it up myself.
That
because they
be.
Really, they continue to do things that are right up the Hoagland Alley. All the sales they have, it's, there's some big mystery about the old Navy stores. I don't know if it's what Richard Hoagland says, but there is something there. It's weird.
It is. It's so weird, and it's kind of funny. But, you know, the timing, that the day they ran that advertising blitz, it was that magic comes back.
I know.
That was March 13th, the Phoenix UFO incident.
Well, either there's something serious there, or they've got a grand sense of humor, and they're playing along.
And the funniest thing was when Richard Hoagland, now this was, I was rolling over listening, when Richard Hoagland said, wear your tetrahedrons and go to Old Navy stores and tell them you're there for the meeting.
I know.
That is so bizarre. It's
well,
unreal.
If you think that's bizarre, thanks, Vince. You should hear what the results of that were. That was some of the funniest stuff I ever read my whole life. I was getting email after email from people who did it and said the clerk said, oh, no, oh, my God, here comes another one. It was a riot. West of the Rockies, you're on the air.
Hi, Art. This is John from Albuquerque, New Mexico.
Hello, John.
Yeah, I was wanting to talk about Major Dames a little bit.
Okay.
Yeah. I think people ought to consider that there's a money aspect to his programs.
He admits it.
Yeah.
I mean, nobody's hiding it. There definitely is. He's selling videotapes that teach you how to remote view, and he's charging for them.
Yeah.
And he readily says so.
Yeah, I agree he says so, but he didn't say so on the air on how much they cost. The first one is just about $50 for the first 2 hours.
Yeah, something like that.
And then, like, the second set he has, I called, and it is $249.95.
Yeah, that's where the meat of it is.
Yeah.
But you know what, though?
What?
Remote viewing courses, if you go to any of the major remote viewers who offer them in the country,
mm-hmm.
are thousands and thousands of dollars. So it depends on how you look at it.
Yeah, well, you know, he kind of indicated that he wanted to get it into people's hands.
Yep.
But I figure, if the world was really going to come to an end, that, you know, he would try to make it as cheap as possible.
Well, there's a million ways that you could look at it. You know?
Yeah.
In other words, he needs the money to go and do what he's going to do.
Yeah.
And he says that outright, and I understand that. The other, though, is that he's now selling, in other words, once he's let all of this out on videotape, that's really going to be the end of it, because that's all you need. You don't need to go to the thousands of dollars worth of courses anymore. So, who knows?
Yeah.
You know the answer for you personally?
What?
If you don't think it's a good deal,
don't buy it.
You got it.
That's right.
Caveat emptor or something like that. Buyer beware.
Uh-huh.
You know, it's there. You can buy it or not.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah. Is that it?
Yeah, that's about it.
All right, see you later. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Hi, Art.
Hello.
My name is Haley. I'm in Michigan.
Okay, turn your radio off, Haley.
I got it.
There you go.
Are we on the air?
What do you think?
I think we are.
Good guess.
I'd like to talk a little bit about the guy that you had on last night. Mr. Pye?
Yes, Lloyd Pye.
Yeah, very interesting stuff. Steichen is really a wonderful introduction to things of Sumeria. One of the things that he said the other night in response to one of the callers who was a little bit antagonistic about the cuneiform script.
Oh, yes.
And the people writing, you know, said that anybody that could do genetic research would not be writing on clay tablets. But, you know, nobody's claimed that the people from Nibiru were writing on clay tablets. It was the Sumerians that were doing that.
Well, as I answered last night, if you look at the big brouhaha going on now about all of the incredibly important documents regarding early technological development of radar and all these very important things that they have simply shredded. I mean, shredded. This is stuff that occurred around 50 years ago, all right?
Yep.
We've got the inscriptions on the tablets from thousands and thousands of years ago, and we have lost records of some of the most important part of a current a human history to a shredder. Case closed. I've got to run, bottom of the hour. Thanks for the call.
You're welcome.
This is Coast to Coast AM.
Bell is taking your calls on the Wildcard Line at area code 702-727-1295. That's 702-727-1295. This is Coast to Coast AM from the Kingdom of Nye with Art Bell.
I would be that one. Hello there, everybody. Can you imagine falling, if that's what happened, because they really don't know, from an airplane? Falling from an airplane and then hitting a picket fence and getting split in two. Horrible way to go. Or maybe not. But, I mean, she had to fall from a very long distance, which means she was probably conscious all the way down. And I'm sure she saw the ground welling up closer and closer and closer, and then finally probably looked down and said, "Oh, damn, a picket fence." She probably actually said something else, but you get the idea. Boy, it must have been horrible. And a woman actually fell out of the sky, they think from an airplane, and was split in two when she hit a picket fence. It's an AP story this morning. Weird. Why would a person want to see in the dark? Let me tell you. There's a lot of reasons. If there's a contest between somebody who can see in the dark and somebody who can't see in the dark, there's no contest. You know what I mean? I live out here in the desert where it's very dark. They don't put a lot of lights around, and I can see in the dark because I've got night vision from AMT. And this is the doggondest, neatest new product, originally, of course, developed for the military. It's the MO2, and it is a superb piece of equipment. It lets you see in the dark. It amplifies light 32,000 times. It has all glass, finely ground optics. While a lot of companies who are beginning to sell night vision scopes use plastic, guarantee not as good. Glass and finely ground optics are much, much better. We tested every single night vision scope we could lay our gloms on, and there was no contest. The AMT, which is produced in the San Francisco area, is the runaway, and I mean runaway, best piece of gear for the money. It's amazing. I can go out at night, and I can look at the coyotes running around. I see them. They don't see me. And coyotes are pretty wily, believe me. And rabbits, those foul little things that won't get in my yard anymore, ha, 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 due to a rather large dog named Giza, who I'm sure would just love to have a rabbit come on my property. Goodbye, rabbits. Anyway, that's a long and old story, but it's the end of the rabbit problem, that's for damn sure. Look, you can see all of this with a night vision scope, and of course there are some very serious applications, as you can imagine, if somebody's prowling around. You can see them, and they can't see you. Enough said? You can see a picture of this night scope on the Seagrain Company's website, which is available through my website, so if you wish, go take a look. They're going to sell out immediately again. They're very hard to keep in stock, and they are $349.95. I suggest you move quickly. Call Bob Crane in the morning at 7:30 a.m. at 1-800-522-8863. 1-800-522-8863. Now, Area 51, the alien interview. Yes, an alien interviewed at Area 51. Did it really occur? Victor, of course, says so, and he is the one who smuggled this footage out of Area 51. I believe in some sort of digital format, as a matter of fact. He is now hiding, and try as I might, I cannot get another interview from Victor. So he really is hiding. We've got the 65-minute total documentary on videotape, the one that Extra and Strange Universe had for just a very few seconds. Now you get the entire interview. It's $19.95 plus shipping and handling to order. Call 1-800-510-3420. That's 1-800-510-3420. From Daryl in Los Angeles, the kindly person who sent me my incredible Green Bay Packers helmet, genuine helmet, which I'm bound and determined to get signed by Brett Favre, Ken, writes something kind of interesting. Art, my interest in politics has reached a lifetime low. But, on occasions like now, when I'm faced with a moment of reflection, I remind myself of an observation by Mark Russell. Quote, in Washington, truth is so precious that it is only used in emergencies. Well, I think that's exactly right. In Washington, truth is so precious, it's only used in emergencies. That's a truism. First time caller line, you're on the air. Hello.
Mark Bell, how you doing?
Well, I'm all right.
I would like to know if your mailing address, please. There's some information I want to send you, and I'm not prepared to talk about on the radio right now.
Oh, secret stuff, huh?
Well, I think you deserve information, and you deserve to have the record set straight about something.
Give me a hint.
Werewolves.
Oh, werewolves, really?
Yes, sir.
Cool. All right, you ready to copy my address?
Pencil in hand.
It's Art Bell, of course.
Yes.
P.O. Box 4755 in Pahrump. That's P-A-H-R-U-M-P.
Been through there.
Been there, huh?
Yeah.
Nevada. Zip code 89041-4755.
Expect something, sir. Thank you.
Yes, you're welcome. That sounds pretty ominous. Werewolves, huh? Think there really are werewolves? Probably. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Good morning.
Oh, hi.
Oh, hi.
I had to turn the radio down.
That's true.
I just wanted to call to say I'm calling from Nashville, Tennessee. This is Shama. I sent you a fax while ago because I just wanted to see if it would work.
WTN.
Okay, yeah. I wanted to say thank you very much for having that lady Carol Dennis on.
You're welcome.
I have I talked to her and contacted her, and she is a very fantastic person. And that's basically all I wanted to say.
All right, so in a way, your phone call was like your fax.
Sort of, kind of.
Just to see if it worked.
Yeah. Did you get the photographs, though, in that weird tape?
Photographs and weird tape?
Yeah.
From who?
I
from
sent,
you?
Yeah, through regular mail.
Well, I get, you know, that's a question that is very hard for me to answer. I get gazillions of photographs and tapes, so unless you tell me what it's all about.
About a UFO sighting above my house, and it was an audio tape because I didn't have a video camera.
Yes, I did get that. Thank you.
Okay. I'm going to send some other things, some strange writings that I have.
You mean that you do?
Yeah.
You mean like automatic writing?
Sort of.
From a disembodied spirit?
I don't know what it is, but it's symbols and
okay,
stuff.
You need to listen tomorrow night when Malachi Martin is on.
Oh, yeah, I like to listen to him.
Good, he can help you.
All right, thanks.
All right, take care. On my international line, you are on the air. Good morning.
Hey, Art, it's Jesse from BC again.
Jesse from BC, how you doing?
Pretty good. I called you not too long ago about werewolves.
Yes. Well, that was pretty ominous, huh?
Yeah, actually. That's why I called. You know what I'd like you to do, if you could, is see if you can't maybe find an expert on werewolves. I know there's got to be one out there somewhere. Because there's something about that guy's voice.
Well, there's, to be honest, frank with you, there's
familiar.
Honest with you, there's something odd about you, too.
Here we go again.
Well, we know it's right, don't we, Jesse?
Well, yeah, but I don't think it has too much with me being a werewolf, if that's what you're shooting at again.
Well, Jesse, you respond like Pavlov's dog when the word werewolf comes up.
Well, I can't help it.
I know. That's what I'm trying to tell you. It's like when you sleep, I'm sure you can't help what you do. You know what I mean?
Well, you know what? You're starting to make me nervous now. I'm thinking about maybe tying one of my ankles to the bed or something at night. But
well, certainly not saying that you should do something like that, but it would answer some questions, Jesse.
No, I don't actually have too many questions. It's just that things still keep happening.
I mean, like when you wake up in the morning, sometimes go to the mirror and ask yourself, is that really lipstick on me?
I don't wear lipstick.
All right, Jesse, I don't know what to say. We'll wait until whatever it was that he apparently is going to send to me shows up, and we'll see. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Yes, this is GW in Illinois.
GW,
yes.
How you doing?
I was listening to some of Ed Dame's old stuff on the radio or on the internet
yes.
the other day.
Archives.
Yes, the archives. And he was predicting some time travel in 50 years. And
what he said was, yeah, that's right. I believe he was the one, wasn't he, who said that I asked him where, if time travel is real, where are all the time travelers? And he said, you will see them at the moment that time travel is invented.
Yeah, he was talking about Art's parts and them being from a time machine.
That's right.
Well, since his thing on, I just got to say, he scared me the other day. But since his thing about the world coming to an end in 99.
Yeah, he didn't quite say that.
Or he said, yeah, well, he said that there's going to be a big thing that kills a bunch of people, right?
80%, 90%. But
yeah. Well, I was just wondering if that was true, then how the time travel thing could actually, like, become possible.
Well, because he didn't say everybody was going to die.
Okay.
Remember?
Yeah.
So? In fact, if you think about it, it's a perfect time travel story. If, in fact, there is going to be this horrible event, the sun or some other horrid little event, wouldn't people in the future come back and try to change that?
That makes sense to me. I have one other thing.
Yes, sir.
It's about if time travel actually was possible by way of machines.
Yes.
And such like that. Wouldn't the timeline just become all, like, encompassed in one thing? Wouldn't there be, like, there would be absolutely no time? There'd have to be a bunch of laws, and it seems like those people would break those laws all the time.
People breaking laws?
Yeah, makes sense.
Yeah, I'm sure that time travel laws would be adhered to about like campaign finance laws are.
Exactly, but I just think that there would be just parallels, like technology would always come back in time, and pretty soon that there wouldn't be a need for a timeline anyway.
There wouldn't be one left after all the lawbreakers got done with it. First time caller line, you're on the air. Hi.
Hi, this is Mike from Escondido.
Yes, sir.
I just wondered, I'm a new listener, have you ever had or considered having Chuck Missler on your show?
Yes, I have not had him on yet, but I have considered it.
Okay, great, because I just put a book out, Alien Encounters, and they mentioned you in the book.
They mentioned me?
Yeah, they quoted me.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
No kidding.
Yeah, it's a book by Chuck Missler and Mark Eastman.
Mm-hmm. Well, good, because it's real, so I'm glad they've mentioned it, and I'm glad you mentioned it. Thank you. Sure, Chuck Missler is somebody I may have on. I'm really glad you mentioned it. I have authored two books. The Art of Talk, which is just sort of a saga of me and talk radio and behind-the-scenes stuff, and it was a fun book to write. It was very frank, and there are still lots and lots of people who will not talk to me because of what I said in that book. And, you know, at first I really regretted that because there were people who were so angry with me. God, angry. And they still won't talk to me. But the more I thought about it, the more I thought, who gives a damn? You know, I'm glad that I did it that way, that I told it that way. And, of course, my current book, The Quickening, which you can get in bookstores. However, between now and Christmas, or until supplies run out, and it's going to be until supplies run out, because the stock is getting low. But I did promise around Christmas I would do an autograph thing. So I'm doing it. If you would like either one or both of my books, and you get a bit of a, you know, a price break if you buy both books, they're both hardback books. None of my books are in paperback. They're all hardback books. Between now and Christmas, you can get an autographed copy. And this is a rather historical moment because I am not going to do it again. This is it. The number to call right now, or 24 hours a day, is 1-800-864-7991. A gazillion people have been asking me if I was going to do this at Christmas, and I promised yes for a short time at Christmas, and then it's all over because I can't do it anymore. I don't, you know, there's not enough time in the day. So, last call, folks. Autographed books at 1-800-864-7991. You can call right now. Operators await the sound of the lovely tones of your voice at that number. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi.
Yes, hi, Art. I'm surprised I got through.
Why? Somebody has to.
Yeah, I'm surprised that I got through so quickly. Anyway, this is Kathy in Oklahoma City. And I was checking to see if you got the fax a friend of mine transmitted for me today.
I don't know.
Okay.
What was it about? I mean, how, you know.
Yeah, I was fixing to jump into that. I was so disappointed Friday when you told that fella, when the story hadn't changed to the reason I don't let people give out websites anymore is because people get in a hurry and write them down wrong and wind up in weird places.
Well, there is that, and then there is the fact that I got burned a couple of times.
Yeah, but you're still thinking I burned you, and I didn't.
Well, you're still accepting guilt when maybe it wasn't just you.
Okay, well, your other comment made it sound that way. And anyway, it's I really like you, and it's important to me, but you don't think that about me.
I don't think that about you.
Okay.
All right.
All right. Let me know what you think of that short story when you get a chance to download it.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you, dear. Take care. First time caller line, you're on the air. Hi.
Hello.
Hello.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, I had a question.
Good.
Okay. I wanted to know about Crystal Gayle, the song that he plays.
Crystal Gayle, the song, yes.
Right, when Daniel...
That he plays? Who's he?
Art Bell.
I'm Art Bell.
Okay. The name of the song that you played when Daniel Brinkley was sick.
Ready for the times to get better.
Ready for the times to get better. Yeah. Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
That was a great song. Can you play it again sometime?
Sure.
Ready for the times.
You know, yeah, it really is. It's from the soul, huh?
It certainly is. She has a beautiful voice. I didn't realize how good until they're ready for the times.
Yep. Yeah. Thank you. Her name is appropriate, Crystal. Her appearance, her voice is exactly that, Crystal, all the way. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi.
Yeah, hi, Art.
Hello.
Yeah,
turn your radio off.
This is Jim.
Jim, turn your radio off.
Yeah, it's off. This is Jim in St. Louis.
Yes, sir.
And I heard you talking about the monkeypox earlier.
Yes.
One small ray of hope in it, at least, is the news article that I saw said that those of us who are old enough to have been vaccinated against smallpox probably won't have to worry about it.
Not smallpox.
Excuse me?
Hey, you still got your radio on. I'm going to have I'm going to leave the line if you don't call the wild card lines. Area 702-727-1295. Yeah. Goodbye. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Mr. Bell.
Mr. Caller.
This is Robert in San Joaquin Valley, California.
Yes, Robert.
You know, Mr. Bell, I really am excited because you've got so many millions and millions of additional listeners. But, you know, for people like myself, regulars, it's becoming more and more difficult to get through.
But, and yet, here you are.
Yeah, I know. Persistence. I have three things for you tonight, if I may. Is that right?
I don't know. Depends on how long each thing is.
I'll try to make it short.
Okay.
All right. First of all, light bulbs. As you notice, they've got many different types of light bulbs. and they advertise how many hours they will last. While holding this copy of Associated Press, it says here a low-watt bulb apparently has been burning 24 hours a day since the 1920s.
Really?
Yes, sir. Mr. Harry, I'll spell it, S-A-K-A-S-E-G-A-W-A, 71 at that time.
Yeah.
Shown here, remembers the light bulb during the 1920s wedding. He opened Harry's garage in Salinas, California, 1936.
Mm-hmm.
General Electric stopped making the bulb in 1920.
All right. I'm going to try and hold you over till the next hour. Can you do that?
Oh, I'd love to.
All right. I'm holding you over then. Stay right there. I've got a couple things I've got to get done. That's 1-800-282-3333. This year, give a gift that's truly out of this world. Out of this world. Now, I don't know that I have it queued up, but I will try. We'll see if we can get it going. Crystal Gale, the man is absolutely right. She's a beautiful woman. It's a beautiful song. It's called Waiting for the Times to Get Better. It's been up too long.